We'll be reading Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 7. For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed, and we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
Appreciate very much the song that Edward led. That does indeed tell the story that I want to convey in the lesson this morning. And I appreciate the reading as well that his grandfather just did for us. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me point out very quickly, again, there's a lot going on here at the end of the month with the wrap-up next Saturday, the community Saturday, the following Saturday. There's a sheet out on the bulletin board. It's got the wrong time for community Saturday, too, so 11 to 6 will be the time. You can always look on the website and try to put it in the bulletin as well so we're aware of what's going on. But take notice of that. You people that come to the Bible movie and discussion, community Saturday got swapped from October to September, so I swapped that over to October. Look on those announcements and all that'll make sense. Other than that, glad the visitors are here this morning. We are thankful for that. And this morning, the sermon came by request that grows out of last Sunday morning class from downstairs. Someone asked that I would preach this. This is some of the material we studied down there. And it's good to talk about the Lord, and especially this quarter, we're talking about the callings and the teachings of Jesus. And we are called to be one of the sheep of his pasture. Sometimes that's ridiculed quite a bit. But I think if we understand what it means to follow the good shepherd, that is a wonderful place to be. And I hope by the end of the lesson that all of us, because I know the more we look at these passages of Scripture, the more we appreciate the position we have with our Lord. The good shepherd. Jesus said in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Incidentally, as we get into this morning, my voice is a little ragged. It's not my fault. It is completely Johnny Manziel's fault yesterday. So, but Alabama needed me. So anyway, no, seriously, just bear with me this morning. I chose this picture, and I'm going to use it several times in the lesson, because it is a beautiful picture to me of a shepherd who cares very much. You notice how attentive the sheep are. I don't stop and talk about a picture very much, but this one grabbed me. The sheep gathering around him, I guess relatively there are a few sheep who do that, but it is like our gathering around Jesus, because we know him, he knows us, he cares for us, and we know that he is our shepherd. And as long, just like David said of the Father long ago, when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, as you look back into the Old Testament, you realize that God is our shepherd. That he cares for us, that he provides for us, that is, he provides for our needs. Maybe not always everything we want, but what we need. So that we never want. And of course the idea is so that we never do without what we really need. I believe when we come to understand that and we trust him, because that's what sheep do. They trust their shepherd. They place their life in his hands and they completely trust him. When we do, then it begins us down a path or toward a time when we are completely at peace because we are one of the sheep of our Lord's pasture. Now, as we look at it this morning, I want us to understand that while God cares for us and gives us what we need and would be our shepherd, etc. Just like Ed read for us a moment ago from Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. And I want to focus on that this morning. Because sheep, for all the trust they have in their shepherd, for all the great qualities that they have, and they do, they still have a tendency to wander to other pastures. And that is so much like us as human beings. No matter the great care we're receiving, no matter how wonderful it is to be part of the pasture of God, we have a tendency to go astray. We have a tendency to turn, just like Isaiah says, every one of us, to our own way. And that is not the way of sheep, and that is not what leads us to a good time, a good pasture, or a good way of life. So it is a beautiful picture in Scripture. God cares for us. He is our shepherd. But we, like sheep, have gone astray. So what God has to do is go the extra mile, like a good shepherd will do. And so the Lord, as Isaiah 53 continues to say, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we go astray, we sin. And God laid on Jesus all of our iniquity. Now let's go further with this idea. We look in the Old Testament and we see numerous Old Testament passages. I've been talking in several different studies with people recently about how much about Jesus we see in the Old Testament. I encourage you, if you have not been in the habit of reading the prophets especially, the Psalms, and I know many of you do, but if you've not been, go back and revisit the prophets. Go back, for example, to the book of Isaiah and realize how much the book of Isaiah is talking about you as a member of the church and about Jesus as our shepherd. In fact, let's just look at just a few of the many, many passages from the Old Testament. Let me start with Isaiah 40 and verses 10 and 11, when God says, and you can either follow along with the excerpts up here or turn in your Bibles, either one. But he says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand." Now this previews Jesus. It looks ahead to him. "The Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and with his arm he shall rule for him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will," notice the picture, "he will gather the lambs with his arm." Jesus cares. Jesus always demonstrated the idea, especially, of caring for young children, being tender with them, and willing to gather them up, take time and gather them into his arms. "He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom," or we would probably say today, in his lap. He'll bring them up, you know, like a grandfather or whatever it might be. He brings a young child up and sits them in their lap. The older I get, that's one of the things I love to do with small children. They're just beautiful. "Carry them in his bosom, in his lap, and gently lead those who are with young." Notice again in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 3 through 6, and these are some excerpts again from that passage. God says, "I will gather the remnant of my flock." I'm not going to go deeply into this, but remember through captivities, remember through sin and punishment for it, God's people were scattered literally all over that part of the world, from Italy to Africa and as far east as what would be modern day Iran and so forth. They were just scattered. "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, and I will bring them back to their fold. I will set up shepherds." I think this has to do with the apostles, but I'm not going to belabor that. "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more." And I love this phraseology here, where God is predicting a time when his sheep are secure in his pasture, and they will fear no more, nor be dismayed. You know, that song that Edward just led for us, part of the idea that focuses on the sheep lost out in that mountain, lost out there alone, is that they begin to tremble. You know, there are all kinds of dangers out there, just like for any of us when we wander astray. Maybe it's exciting. Maybe it's new to go find the greener grass of another pasture. But what you realize is that there are tremendous dangers out there. And that all of a sudden, it can seem like it's all of a sudden, you are completely alone. And that's when the fear overtakes you. You can be dismayed, just like frightened and stiff, almost catatonic. What do I do now? I don't know if any of you, I know some of you have felt that way. Maybe all of us at one time or another. I certainly know what it means, what it feels like to be in that position. Fear, dismay. And notice as he says, nor shall they be lacking. God will provide what you need. It may not seem like that sometimes, but you have to trust him. I will raise to David, and of course Jesus is a descendant to David. I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now his name by which he will be called is the Lord, our righteousness. Again in Ezekiel, and there are many passages in Ezekiel that predict Jesus. In chapter 24, verses 20 through 26, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, hunted down by people. I will establish one shepherd, Jesus, obviously, over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and there shall be showers of blessing. Now, doesn't that sound like a desirable place to be? A desirable condition or situation to be in. God means for it to be that way. Sometimes we hear people criticize the idea of Christians as dumb sheep, stupid sheep, blindly following. Usually they will picture the idea of someone like you blindly following the leadership of someone like me. But yet that's not the truth, is it? We all, you and I, are not blindly, but very much with open eyes, understanding what the point is, we are choosing to follow this great shepherd who can provide all of this that no one else can provide. There is no other greener pasture. There is no place to go for all of this. Only in the pasture of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When we think of Jesus leading, and you see the sheep following him, knowing the one sheep, notice the one at his left hand, looking at him, and looking at the small sheep up there, and how much he cares. That's the idea. The New Testament, it just clearly depicts Jesus, and I take this phrase from Hebrews 13, but as our great shepherd. That's who he is. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 25, when Peter quotes Isaiah, you were like sheep going astray. But you Christians have now returned to the shepherd. A shepherd implies the idea of the one who leads and feeds you. And the thing that the sheep care about the most is being fed. They want to be full and they want to be happy. And the shepherd feeds them. But he also is the bishop. And a bishop is an overseer or one that watches over. And that is a shepherd's duty. The sheep may not even realize how much the sheep, I don't know. I've never been a sheep, you know. But the sheep, whether they understand it or not, are being watched over and protected by the bishop of their souls, Jesus. Now in Matthew 18 and in Luke 15, and Edward's already talked about this passage in Luke 15, Jesus describes the idea of anyone who would have a flock of sheep. He, Jesus, has a flock of sheep. You are his flock. We are his flock. Sometimes someone goes astray. Sometimes someone is lost, just like this picture is showing here. The sheep is lost. It's in trouble. It's on the side of a cliff. It's stuck there. It doesn't have the power to get itself up or out. And I know that there are people here together with me. We've been there. And if it weren't for getting help and help from God, we would not have made it. But Jesus is there for us. He leaves the 99. He comes after us. The Son of Man, Jesus says, has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, doesn't he leave the 99, go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders. He calls his friends and neighbors. He says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, I caution you. One of the most popular things among people who are in a desperate situation, or maybe I should say popular, maybe common things, for people who are in a desperate situation is to buy into Satan's lie, God doesn't want me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't want me. God would not want someone who's done whatever it is you've done. He just doesn't love me. He would rather have, and he looks back at the 99 and sees the sheep, perhaps in a lot better position than he is, and says, God doesn't love me. He loves those people over there. I want you to know, this is a picture of a shepherd who loves you and who will walk away from the secure and come after you. This is a shepherd who loves us. And he is not willing that any of us be lost. If you're going to be lost when you're on that ledge, or you're lost out there, you're going to be lost because you run away from him when he comes for you. Because you jump off the cliff and give up. Not because he won't come and he doesn't want you. When we think of Jesus, we think of the Good Shepherd. I want you to look with me at John 10. We're going to spend just a few minutes as we close out, maybe about 5 minutes on John 10. I wish we had time to go through every verse. I am the Good Shepherd. But I want you to listen to some of the things that are said here. Just part of it. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says in John 10. I know my sheep. Look at verse 14. I know my sheep, and I am known by those who are mine. You know, there's an intimacy that exists between Jesus and his sheep. And it grows. Tiffany's back there with a brand new baby. There are young children in here, different stages. The more that child grows, the more that child will know and get closer and closer. And so it will be between parent and child. That love exists between Jesus and those who are his. He knows them intimately. He's shared times with them. He's been with them. He's rescued them. And they know him. And it only grows. But you know, there's something very interesting here. You've heard me say it before. In the New Testament, there are two basic primary, and there's a couple of other terms that are used, but two primary words for good. And one of them really carries the idea of something or someone who is morally good. You know, good in the sense of being moral. And the other one is the idea of like a good pearl, a beautiful pearl, something that physically is very beautiful. Now, which would you suppose Jesus uses here? I am the supremely, above anything else, good moral shepherd. Well, he is that. But would Jesus say, I am the beautiful shepherd? In fact, back in Isaiah, the passage Ed read, and I won't turn back there again, but if you remember, there is no form or comeliness in him that we should desire him. Jesus was not a quote-unquote good-looking man so that people would be attracted to him. He didn't have that kind of charisma or whatever it might be. No, but in Jesus, in fact, says, I am the beautiful shepherd. And that's strange, and yet not so. And I said to people, you know, I think about my grandmother. Oftentimes talk about my grandmother. My earliest memories all involve her. And at that time, she was a little younger than I am. You know? And I know I'm good. No, I'm kidding. But she was a little younger than I am. But I watched her grow from basically my age to older and older and older and older. By the time she died, she had cancer. She was well up in years. She was extremely wrinkled. She had all kinds of problems. And she still, to me, was one of the most beautiful people I have ever seen. And I wish I could see her now. Jesus is beautiful to people who love him. And the more he is there with them and for them through life, the more beautiful he becomes. When you look at Jesus, he is the beautiful shepherd. And the reason why, look at verses 9 and 10 and just listen to the language. If any man enter in, he speaks of his pasture, his sheepfold, if you will. If any man enter into my sheepfold, he'll be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. That's the idea of real freedom. You belong in that sheepfold. You have the liberty to go in and out of that area, just wandering about, enjoying all the blessings of being part of that fold. You find pasture. There is never a time when you do not find pasture. Oh, there are times of persecution and all of that, but in Jesus and with Jesus, there is always pasture. The sheep are always happy because of that, because they're blessed. I am come, Jesus said, that they may have life, real life, not drama, all the time drama. This problem and that problem and this problem and that problem. And oh, you've got a problem too. And my problem is bigger than your problem. And oh, I wish I wasn't in this problem. Drama, 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 drama. We are wrecked with drama. And Jesus meant for us to have life here and the one to come. And to have it more abundantly. That's why he's beautiful to us. That's why he's the good shepherd. When we think of Jesus, we think of one who is the door of the sheep. In this passage, Jesus says that a couple of times, and it stands out to you because, and I finally found a picture. It's not too good, so I hope you can see this. But I finally found a more modern picture of exactly this idea. Now, if you can see this, and I don't know how well you can, but it's a rock corral, so to speak, that the sheep are herded into for protection at night. And if you notice in the red circle, the shepherd is literally sitting in the open gate. There's not a gate. He becomes the gate or the door. And what that is saying, what that is demonstrating, is that if anything is going to get in there and get the sheep, it's got to come through him. And that's exactly the idea. Look at John 10, if you're open to it, and notice down in verses 27 and 28, and notice or 28 and 29, and notice how Jesus makes the point, ain't nobody going to take the sheep out of my hand. My sheep are secure. If anyone is going to get to them, they've got to come through me. Now, the only way for sheep to get out of such a place or something to get them is for the sheep to jump the fence and get out. And that's the idea. You can leave. You can jump the fence and run off. But if you remain in there, whatever's going to get you has to come through the shepherd. And nothing can come through Jesus. You're absolutely secure. The idea in this passage, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He loves you. He will always be there for you. Are you here this morning? Not a child of God, not one of the sheep of his pasture. Now you know, you may never have entered in. You may never have been baptized. You may never have had Jesus as your shepherd. But you can. If you confess that he is the Lord, the Son of God, if this morning you're willing to repent, to be baptized for forgiveness of your sins, you enter a time, a life, where you can go in and out and find pasture. But you know, if you've done that and you jump the fence, and you know you're away from him, you're lost, he's coming for you, and no doubt you feel that. No doubt that the Lord's hand, as David put it, is heavy upon you. And he wants you back. And you know that. He's reaching for you. He's calling for you. All you have to do is come back to him. All you have to do is allow yourself to be found. He'll put you on his shoulders. He'll bring you back. If you're here this morning and you need to come, please come while we stand and sing.